Revelations 1 and 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelations 3 and 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Let's go to the last chapter, 22 and 12. Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Two times he says, I'm the beginning and the end. And then the one time he said, I'm the beginning of the creation of God. We're going to deal today with who the Christ is. The truth is that Jesus is the Christ. But as we've been teaching all this week, the Christ was before Jesus. Jesus is born of a virgin. In fact, the Scripture speaks of the Son. It said the Son was made under the law, made of a woman. The Son was not in the beginning. The Christ was in the beginning. The Son was made of a woman. And they called His name Jesus. There's three verses of Scripture that at least two of them that John wrote in the first chapter of John and then the first chapter of 1 John, the first verses of each of them, are two of the most beautiful Scriptures that's found in all the Bible. But the third one is where I'm going to start tonight, and it's Genesis 1 and 1. Jesus said, I am the beginning and the end. I am the beginning. And I read without even turning over there. Everybody can read Genesis 1 and 1. Well, I will turn over there. But it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I asked, when was the beginning? And I can't answer that. I mean, what year was it? They didn't count years or days or time. There were no clocks, certainly. All that started with Adam's transgression. That's when they started counting time. Before Adam's transgression, yes, there was a morning and an evening, the first day, the second day, and so on, and et cetera, and so forth. But nobody kept a record of it. There's no record of time because it was eternal. It wasn't time, it was eternal. And with the entrance of sin, time began, and it began to, did it count up or did it count down? The reality is it began to count down because it's coming to the time that the angel of the Lord will say, time shall be no more. There comes an end of time, and at the end of time, everything that came in with the transgression of Adam's sin and sickness and pain and curse and everything, that'll all be over. And the things are not reconciled to God are cast into the pit. And then a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But it said the first heavens and the first earth are passed away in that time. In fact, at the great white throne judgment, the one that sat upon the throne, it said before whose face the heavens and the earth fled away. And it's speaking about the old things are cast in the pit, and whosoever's name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life is cast in the pit, and death and hell are cast in the pit, and the beast, the false prophet, were already cast in the pit, and the devil was cast into the pit. And in the new heavens and the new earth, righteousness reigns, and there's nothing that hurts or harms. There's nothing there but the righteousness of God and the purpose of God in the new heavens and the earth. But I'm talking this morning not about the end, but the beginning. Praise the Lord. He said, I am the beginning. And so if I can't tell you when the beginning was, I can tell you where the beginning was. And this is one of those things. Somebody said this morning that much learning doth make thee mad. I wonder if that was a reference to me. I didn't know for sure. Actually, it's a reference to the Apostle Paul. Festus told him, much learning doth make thee mad. But what I'm fixing to say, it made me wonder if I'm losing it. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now they tell me that Moses wrote that, and I'm sure that Moses did write that. He wrote the first five books of the Bible. And I don't know if Moses had any idea of maybe of what he was saying. But I do know one thing. If he wrote it by the Word of God, then God knew what he was saying. Praise the Lord. And I look at that and I see in Christ, God created the heavens and the earth. Not a time, but a place. Can you see? I am the beginning and the end. That's what Jesus said in the Revelation. I am the beginning. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But in Revelation, He didn't say, I was there in the beginning. He said, I am the beginning. I am the beginning. We're looking at who this Christ is that came and was made flesh to make an end of sins, to undo through His obedience what Adam did through his disobedience. Reconciling us to God and making reconciliation for iniquity and making an end of sins and bringing in everlasting righteousness, which He did when He died on the cross for us. But who was it that died on the cross for us? And the whole purpose in teaching the message of the Christ is that in the Old Testament, there's only two verses that ever mention the Messiah by title. And it says He's going to finish the transgression. He's going to make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, and bring in everlasting righteousness. And when Peter says, Thou art the Christ, he said, You are the one that has come into the world, come from God to make an end of sins and bring an everlasting righteousness and to fulfill everything that it was spoken that the Christ, the Messiah, would do when He comes. Amen. And in that prophecy in Daniel, which Gabriel brought from God to Daniel, telling of the Christ, he said, all this is going to happen before 490 years pass from the time that the king gives the decree. And Jesus appeared in ministry the first year of the 70th week. In the very middle of the 70th week, He died on the cross. In the midst of the week, it shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. It said in Daniel 9 and 27. And that's not about the Antichrist, as many teach today. That is the Christ in the 27th verse of the 9th chapter. That's the Christ. That's there that He made an end of sins. It's there that He brought an everlasting righteousness. It's there. But again, it's John that makes a connection of Christ with the beginning. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and bear with me and think in terms that in Christ, and the purpose of God that's shown in the first chapter of Ephesians, God revealed His purpose to those that first trusted in Him, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He would gather in one all things in Himself. Whether in heaven or in earth, that He would gather all things in Christ. Things that were lost through the fall, through the transgression, would be gathered back in and reconciled. And what could not be gathered back in and reconciled would be cast into the pit. You know, I don't believe in ultimate reconciliation. I don't believe in that. I don't believe the devil can be saved. Demon spirits cannot be saved. It's not a possibility. I don't believe that every man or every woman is going to be saved. I don't believe that. That's the doctrine of ultimate reconciliation that's been a heresy for many, many years. But what is not reconciled will be cast into the pit. It'll be cast into the lake of fire. And that is the end of the old. Listen to me. And then the new heavens and new earth. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it is not a stretch to say that He created all things in Christ, in whom He will also reconcile all things in Christ. Praise God. Now, I don't know that that's what Moses was saying. I don't know. But I kind of believe it's what Jesus was saying when He said, I am the beginning. Amen. Now then, let's go to John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, you go over to Colossians, and I'm not going to turn over there, but it not only tells us that all things were made by Him and for Him, but it said by Him all things consist. Praise God. That everything that is consists of Him. Listen to me. From the beginning, before the fall, everything that was created was by Him, for Him, and by Him or in Him. All things consist. And it gives us a little bit broader view of what's being spoken. But here John says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, let's stop right there just for a second. The Word, the Greek word is logos. There's two principal Greek words that were translated Word, and the other is rhema. Rhema and logos. Now, some teachers have made a big deal of rhema. I don't see any big deal in rhema. You know, they said, I got a rhema word. God gave me a rhema word. Well, rhema is just an utterance. Rhema is just something said. Rhema is just a conversation. And God does give rhema words, but just God talking to you. That's all it is. It's God talking to you. But when the Scripture says, in the beginning was the Logos. Now the word Logos is a Greek word which can be a topic of conversation. Be something said. That you look it up in your Strong's Concordance. And the first thing it says, something said. A Logos. And it says, a topic of conversation. A Logos. But then it says, when the article the is used with Logos. In other words, it's not a Logos, but it's the Logos. It says it's the divine expression, i.e. Christ. In the beginning was the Word. And it's not talking about words. It's not talking about rhema. It's not talking about the utterance when God said, let there be light. That was in Hebrews 11, when it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That was a rhema. When God said, let there be light, there was light, and that was a rhema. But in the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos is speaking of the Logos. Is speaking of the divine expression of God. And that's Christ. It's talking about Christ, but it calls Him the divine expression of God. Praise God. But it's not just something said. It's life. It's a living Word. Praise the Lord. We look over in Peter. Let's look in 1 Peter right quickly for a second. It's the first chapter, the 23rd verse. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. And if you check again your Strong's Concordance, your Greek, it says by the Logos of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I love the written Word of God. I love it. But it's speaking of something so much more than the written Word of God. It's speaking about the Logos, the divine expression of God. It's speaking about Christ is that incorruptible seed. We're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed. We're born again by the Logos, by the divine expression. Praise God. By the Christ, we are born again. He goes on to really explain that now that we understand what the Greek says. And he says, by the Word of God, which liveth, Logos, the divine expression, Christ, which liveth and abideth forever. And then he says, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And if it's speaking about Christ, it's speaking about the Word, the Logos, the divine expression. He who is from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Same in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. This is the incorruptible seed that we're born of. A Word, a Logos, a divine expression that's living and abiding forever. And he says, which word by the gospel? Hallelujah. Does that tell you something about what the gospel is? It's Christ. It's the Christ. Hallelujah. There is no other gospel than the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus is the Christ of eternity. That Jesus is the Christ that Gabriel told Daniel will make an end of sins, finish the transgression, bring in everlasting righteousness. Not in a second coming, but in a first coming. Designated by the timeline of the prophecy in Daniel the 9th chapter. Praise God. Hallelujah. So in the beginning was the Word, the divine expression. Well, let's go on through. And the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same as in the beginning. With God all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Then it goes on, there's a man named John. And so on, it talks about John for a while. It comes back to the Christ that He was in the world, was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Said He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power. The correct understanding there is the privilege. The privilege. The privilege of the coming. It's a privilege to become a son of God. Hallelujah. To them gave He the privilege of becoming the sons of God. Even to as many who believe upon His name, who were born not of man, nor the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. And skip two verses and read this. And of His fullness have all we received. And grace for grace that He is full of. Hallelujah. He fills us with every grace that He's full of. Hallelujah. Truth. Precious Savior. Glory to God. Moses says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John says, in the beginning was the Word, the divine expression. When He was made flesh, John 1 and 14, the Word's made flesh and dwelt among us. In Hebrews, it tells us that He being what? The brightness of God's glory the express image of His person. Jesus Christ in this flesh body was the divine expression of God. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I'm the divine expression of the Father. Praise God. Let's go over to 1 John 1 and 1. That which was from the beginning, the translators really did us wrong in this first verse. That which, John is not talking about a thing. He's talking about a person. If you go to the Greek, the same Greek word that is translated that is the same Greek word that also translates he. Why say that when John said he? John said, He who was from the beginning. Hallelujah. Whom we have heard. Whom we have seen with our eyes. It becomes very clear, doesn't it? Whom we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Of the Word, the Logos, the divine expression of life. He who was from the beginning. He's not talking now about the Spirit of Christ. He's not talking about that which was before He's made flesh. He's talking about that which is made flesh and dwells among us, and we behold His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. He said, we've heard Him, we've seen Him, we've looked upon Him, we've handled Him with our hands, but He's the divine expression of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Amen. It's clear who He's speaking of. Amen. He's talking about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. The Christ. Amen. Who is from the beginning, who is the beginning. Amen. By whom all things were made. Without Him there's not anything made that was made. But whom was made flesh, dwelt among us, so that He could die on a cross, so that He could be that Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, so that He could fulfill the words of Gabriel, that He shall make an end of sins and bring an everlasting righteousness, and that He would do it through His death. He would bruise the head of the serpent. Through His death He would destroy he that had the power of death, that is the devil. It designates it 10 points where that it all happened. The end of all things of the first creation are actually accomplished in the death of the Son of God. And the new is accomplished in the resurrection of the Son of God. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Even before He was made flesh, the love of Christ constrains us. For we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. But actually, the Greek says if one died for all, then all died. Now the Scripture clearly tells us that on this our old man is crucified with Christ. Was there anything else crucified with Christ? Was anything else nailed to His cross? Sin was nailed to His cross. The world was nailed to His cross. Paul said, I'll not glory save in the cross of Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The one in whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and for whom are all things. That same one was made flesh for the suffering of death to reconcile all things to Himself who would trust in Him. And the rest that will not be reconciled will be cast into the pit. He said, we thus judge that if one died for all, then all died. When the Creator of the first creation died, that whole creation died. It's still kicking around, you know. But even the devil's come down in great wrath, knowing he's got but a short time. How does he know that? Because his head's already been bruised at the cross. The victory was won at the cross. The death was died at the cross. We're crucified with him. When they put him on the cross, they put my old man on the cross. But he said, all died. The world was nailed to that cross. Sin was nailed to that cross. My old man was nailed to that cross. The same cross that the Son of God, the eternal Word of God, the living expression of God Almighty, died on that cross. But the world and sin and my old man died on that cross. And he said, and he died for all. And then he says something again and again. I must say that the translators could not comprehend the power of what was spoken. Because what the King James gives us in the translation is that they which live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them and rose again. But should is not in that Greek text. And unto is not in that Greek text. What it says, all died, and they that live no longer live themselves, but the one who died for them and rose again lives. That's what it says. That's what Paul said. He didn't say you should live unto Him if you live. He said, if you live, it's Christ that lives in you. The translators sometimes could not understand the power of what the apostle understood and saw and said. And he didn't say that all died and they that live ought to live unto Him. No longer live unto themselves. He said, that they that live no longer live themselves, but He that died for them. It's the same thing that Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, which is correctly translated. I am crucified with Christ. My old man died, was nailed to that cross. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. And Paul's not living unto Him. Christ is living in him. There's a difference. The one involves us seeking to live unto Him. And that's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. We still have a human nature that can lead us away from Christ and away from the cross, just as Adam's human nature led him away from the tree of life and away from the cross. And so as humans that know Him, yes, we ought to live unto Him. But He said, if you see someone that's living after everything has died at the cross, if you see something that has life, it's the one that died and rose again that's living. Praise God. You find somebody that's living, the only source is going to be him that died for him and rose again. And everything else is dead. Everything else is dead. And here we are trying to die. Praise God. When we, if I can use that word, ought to, we ought to be seeking Him who is life. Because the one that lives, it's Christ that lives. It's Christ that lives. And if it's not Christ that's lived, then it's a man that's trying to live. It's a person that's trying to live. if it's not Christ that lives. Now, I'll tell you, this is glorious liberty when it's Christ that lives. When it's not Christ that lives, it's an eternal struggle. Romans 7 is not the norm of the child of God. Romans 7 is a dead man walking. Romans 7 is maybe they knew the Lord. Maybe they'd been born. Maybe they did. Paul speaks, I believe, hypothetically in Romans 7 and 9. I do not believe that Paul had a sin problem. But there are those that teach it. The great apostle Paul had a secret sin problem. Even when he was turning the world upside down, he was plagued with a secret sin. No! No! He said, it's not I that live, it's Christ that liveth in me. In Romans 7, it says, if I'm doing things I don't want to do, I know that it's not me, but it's sin that lives in me. That's not the apostle Paul. That's not his experience. That's not his revelation. But in Romans 7 and 9, he speaks hypothetically for the general religious crowd. But he says, I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And then he goes into the law is spiritual. I'm carnal, sold under sin. Are you sold under sin? Praise God.
No, sir.
Oh, well, praise God. Then you're not sold under sin. You've been bought with a price. Hallelujah. And sold under sin doesn't mean that it was Jesus that bought you. Sold under sin, it means that sin's the one that's got you. Hallelujah. That's right. Praise the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. We saw yesterday, Paul couldn't speak to that Corinthian church as spiritual, but as under carnal. And the proof of it, there was divisions and contentions and envies and strife was the proof of their carnality. And the definition of their carnality is that you walk as men. Mm. It wasn't Christ who was living, it was a man that was trying to live. Amen. That's amazing.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
But you come on down through Romans 7, a dead man walking. I would do good, but evil's present with me. The good I would, I do not. The evil I would not do, that I do. I find that the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I know not. You know? I know that if I do things that I don't want to do, it's not I that do it, but it's sin that dwells in me. I find then a law warned against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That is not the Christian Amen. Experience. That is not the walk of the child of God. Oh, let me tell you, the serpent that talked to Eve in the garden, it finds a place to talk to the people in the church and say, hey, this is normal. This is okay. This is all right. As long as you want to do good. You know, as long as you want to do good, it doesn't matter that what you do is evil, because as long as you want to do good, it's okay. That's a normal experience. After all, sin is still in you, and you'll always be a sinner as long as you live in this body. That's what the serpent tells you. And the serpent, you know where I believe he was? I believe he was hanging there in the limbs of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Enticing Eve and Adam. Look how beautiful this is. Look how nourishing this is. Look how much wisdom is in this. Hallelujah. They're hanging in the limbs. It's the serpent that's doing the talking. And I'm using a bit of imagination there. But But listen to me. I'll give you 10 steps as to how to put aside the things that you shouldn't be. You know, a step plan. Yeah. Look at the beauty of this and the nourishment, the wisdom. They go to these step plan meetings, even AA, where that your higher power could be that light bulb because it sheds light upon you. And put their trust in a higher power, that light bulb, to give you strength to one day at a time not take another drink. To wake up every day and say, I'm an alcoholic. I'll always be an alcoholic. And I don't say I'll never drink again, but I won't drink today because I'm drawing strength from my light bulb.
My Lord.
I'm not being facetious. You know, your higher power in AA can be anything you designate as your higher power. And it was a man from AA that told me that it could be a light bulb because it sheds light upon you. And they say that much learning has made us crazy. Praise the Lord. Listen to me. And the serpent said, you follow these steps every day. You confess that you're an alcoholic every day and just draw strength one day at a time not to drink and do it tomorrow one day at a time not to drink and do it tomorrow one day at a time not to drink. And maybe you can finish your life not drinking, but you'll always be an alcoholic. And then here comes a preacher professing to preach the gospel. And we accept Jesus Christ and we wake up every day and say, I'm a sinner. And I'll always be a sinner. And it's not even as strong as the light bulb that they trust in. Because the one that trusts in the light bulb says, I won't drink today. But the one that trusts in that gospel says, I sin every day. Is it all right?
No,
not to believe that. Is that all right? The God of the step plan. Hiding in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I could go on and on and on. The God of the religious principles. You go through these principles every day that you live. You wake up in the morning, sit on the side of your bed, and begin to clad yourself in the whole armor of God. Every morning, get up and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Gird your loins about with truth. Sit down and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And before you go out the door, pull the helmet of salvation on. What happened? Did you backslide overnight? But they go through those rituals of religion. This was a biggie just about 20, 25 years ago. One thing I need every day, and that's bread from heaven.
Amen.
That's renewal in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every day.
Hallelujah.
Every day.
Hallelujah.
I don't try to die every day. I died once. With Christ.
Amen.
But I'm renewed day by day. Just like some of you are not renewed in the flesh until you have your morning cup of coffee. Praise God. But praise the Lord. But to be renewed in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit of God, day by day, every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus, I'm the bread. Come down from heaven. Somebody eat of me. They'll never die. Oh, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Hallelujah. Precious Lord, I need renewal. I need that drink from heaven. He said, I've made you all to drink of one Spirit. Lord, I need a drink of your Spirit. I need a meal of your flesh. Praise God, I need it every day that I live. It renews me. Praise God, it keeps me. And I get up and I walk in the Spirit because I've been renewed in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. But we learn how to be Christians in the human nature, in the flesh, what we ought to do, what we ought not to do. But if we're not renewed in the Spirit, we still die. For he said, if you walk after the flesh, he said, you shall die. Someone said, oh, I don't have to worry about that. I don't drink no more. I don't do drugs no more. I don't chase women no more. I don't chase men no more. That's not what he was talking about. Amen. If you're doing that, you're not going to die. You're dead. Amen. You're dead. You're dead in sins. Amen. You're dead in trespasses. If that is your life, you're dead. But he said, if you're walking in your own understanding, Amen. If you're walking, if you're serving God in your human spirit, Amen. You will die. Because you must serve Him in the Holy Ghost. And our Redeemer is the Lord. Our Savior is the Lord. Our Savior is the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. And in the beginning, God created all things. Without Christ, our Redeemer, without the Word, the divine expression, nothing was created that was created. He's the one that died on the cross for me. But furthermore, if Christ lives in me, I don't have a baby Jesus hidden away in my heart someplace. In a manger. So sweet. You know, this baby Jesus. It's not that 12-year-old confounded. Not even the man that's anointed. Amen. Doing good. Healing all that's pressed of the devil. Amen. The one that created all things. Glory. Dwells Glory. In me and in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The one that not only says, I was in the beginning. The one that says, I am.
I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, come on, Yassi
Toro. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I am the beginning.
Oh,
can you see that? I am the beginning. I am the beginning.
Hallelujah.
And I'm the end. And Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believeth. Hallelujah. He said, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. Hallelujah. He's the end of sins because He's the Christ who came to make an end of sins. He is the end of sins. I'm about to bust, people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The divine expression of God abides in me, in you that trust in Him. Hallelujah. Oh, my brother, I sued her because I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You find someone living in this old sin-cursed world where death reigns. You see someone that's alive. It's Christ that's living. It's Christ. It's the one that died for us and rose again is living. We're born again of that incorruptible seed, the Logos, the divine expression of God. Born again of Christ, the incorruptible seed, the Word which liveth and abideth forever. Which word by the gospel is preached? The gospel must be the Christ, made flesh. Dying for us to destroy the old. Raised again for us to birth the new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I started through this a couple of days ago and didn't get through it. I just recalled later. But drop the things. The old. Has passed away. The old man, the old creation has passed away. And all, that means everyone in Christ is made new. And all are of God. In 1 John, when John says to the little children, he's talking about the infants, the newborns. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Talk about Antichrist. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. But when He said, ye are of God means ye are born of God and have overcome the Antichrists that are in the world by virtue of your birth. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Now somebody can hear everything I've said this morning and said, oh yes, I'm going to add that to my confession. I'm going to confess that the Creator of heaven and earth lives in me. I'm going to confess that, and on and on and on and on. And that's the way God sees me. When you say that's the way God sees me, but not the way the world sees me or the law sees me or the neighbor sees me. You've destroyed it all. You've made it all to be nothing but a sham. Nothing but a sham. Praise God. Because that's not just the way God sees us. That's not just the way He sees His creation. He said, everyone in Christ is of God, born of God, who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Christ died for us on the cross and reconciled us unto God. In fact, the next verse says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He came and He reconciled us to God. He redeemed us, saved us. We were born of God. Christ lives in us. Praise God. And now then, the ministry and the word of reconciliation is ours. It belongs to us. Jesus has done what He's going to do. The Christ has done what He's going to do when He suffered that cross. It's sufficient. It's sufficient. But it's put in our hands to preach reconciliation, to preach the Christ who came, was made flesh, who made an end of sins, destroyed the devil through His death at the cross, to preach the victory of Calvary. Oh, wretched man, that dead man in Romans 7 says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he says in the next verse, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Precious Savior. It's a wonderful gospel, people. It's a wonderful good news. Glad tidings of great joy. Christ has come. Christ has come. The beginning and the end. Thank God that He was the end. When I received Him, He was my end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. He was my end. And my beginning. He said, I'm the beginning and the end. And then we receive, and He's the end and the beginning. Let's stand to our feet and just lift up our hearts and hands to heaven. Holy be Asito Roboko Sidra
Bayanda.
Hallelujah, Asito Rosi Kabayana Rubukusana. God, shine into our hearts. Oh God, that we might see. Oh God, that we might see. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, did they under the book or suit of the house? Did they under the book or study? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. So, so, to the beyond the real seek of your rubber, the shoulder of a Christian. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You need a touch from the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, I speak healing and health. In the name of Kiyosudarabakans, I be loosened in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, it be Androsika Borshadarabakans, Eterabakans. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Savior, precious Savior, precious Savior. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I love you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. This is what Paul called rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, brother. Cheatham, God bless you, brother. God bless you. God, use my brother in anointing, oh God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, lay your hands upon my brother, Lord. Oh God, you commanded light to shine in darkness. Command light to shine through this darkness, oh God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Shine into his heart, oh God. Enlighten his eyes that he might see the hope of your calling, the riches of your inheritance, the greatness of your power. Hallelujah. To quicken and to make alive. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke and bind the spirit of darkness that hovers over him, that covers him. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command that it to loosen him in the name of Jesus. Oh God, my son, it'll be our soul to remind that it'll be kissing to the book of Spirit. In Jesus' name, spirit of oppression, you are bound. I break your chains and command you to loosen in Jesus' name. Praise God. Lift up your hands and just glorify the Lord. Give glory to the Lord, brother. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Precious Savior, precious Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, shine into the heart. Enlighten her eyes. Oh God, and let all these other things that have oppressed her and troubled her be wiped away. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke the oppression of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Christ has come and He's made an end. He's not made a cover, and He's made an end. And you know that. You know that no lies are the truth. Praise God. But the oppressor that seeks to oppress the mind, I bind in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command, oppressor, that you release and cease your activity. And she will rejoice in the glorious liberty of the sons of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Bert.